We're glad you're here with us today at Bethany Gospel Chapel. Some of you are here for the first time, and we're glad to have you here with us. We're just a simple little group of believers, not a large group, but a little group of believers who like the Word of God. We like to read the Word of God and find out what it has to say, and we try to put the Word of God into practice in our lives. And this morning, we want to tell you that the most important thing that Jesus Christ wants you to know is that you must be born again. He wants you to start a new life in Jesus Christ and change your life so that you'll be a new person. And we want to talk a little bit about that and about baptism today. And so I'm wondering if you could please turn with me in the Bible to Matthew chapter 28. And if you're looking, if you don't have a Bible with you, in the pew there, there's a Chapel version, Chapel Bible there, and you can open it up. And the Bible is split up into two parts. The very first part of the Bible is the Old Testament, and it's the biggest part of the Bible. It's where you read those stories about David and Goliath and the children of Israel and kings. And then it's the second part of the Bible, the New Testament, where the book of Matthew is found, and it's on page 730. Where you start to read about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if there's one thing that you come away with today, we hope there's a lot of things, but if there's one thing you come away with today, we would really like to encourage you to get a Bible and to start reading the Bible. God is big enough to change your life. And you may not believe everything that we say this morning, but you can get that Bible and you can start to read it, and the Lord will speak to you. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles here at the chapel. They're free, and you may have one. We'll give you one. We want you to find the Lord in the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to read a verse about baptism, because today we're going to have a baptism, and it's found here in Matthew chapter 28, and it's verse 18. And I'm going to read this verse and a few other verses, and then I'm going to speak for probably just about 15 minutes. And then we're going to have our baptism. And then, so we should be done by right around 12 o'clock. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to notice there are three things that the Lord Jesus mentions. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's the first thing he wanted his disciples to recognize. He's the one with all authority. Then the next thing, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the second thing. He tells them to teach them to obey the things that are in the Word of God for His name's sake, and to be baptized into the name of the Son, of the Father, and of the Holy Ghost. And then the third thing, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And this morning we want to look a little bit about what it means to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Turn to another portion in God's Word, and keep your finger in Matthew, but turn to Philippians chapter 2. When you read your Bibles, you want to be very careful that you don't just read one portion and then and not check what you're reading with other portions of God's Word, because God's Word never contradicts itself. There are the whole Bible is written so that we might understand the whole thing. And you can understand your Bible. You don't need to be a priest. You don't need to have some kind of education to know what the Lord is saying. The Holy Spirit can explain His Word to you. It's good for you to make sure that you read the Bible in its context and to check what you're reading with other portions of God's Word. We're going to read about the name of the Lord Jesus here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, that's the Lord Jesus, and given Him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we've read that we're to be baptized in His name, and we're going to read a little bit about this name here. It's a high name. It's a name that is above every name. It's a name that every knee will bow and tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then one final portion in God's Word. Again, keep your finger in Matthew and turn now to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 7. Probably one of the most famous verses that everyone knows in all of the Bible. Believers and unbelievers will know this verse. You probably know this verse, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless which takes His name in vain. Don't take the Lord's name in an empty way, in a meaningless way. Right from the beginning in the Bible, the Lord has these strong statements. If you say you're a part of Christ, you take the name of Christ, you be very careful that you don't take that name in an empty or vain way or meaningless way. And so what we want to do for the next few minutes is spend a little bit of time here in Matthew chapter 28. The scene in Matthew chapter 28 is, well, it's at the end of the book. It's this mountain scene in Galilee. The Lord Jesus, over the last 40 days, and His disciples have been through a tremendous amount. There had been this triumphal entry into Jerusalem about 40 or 50 days before. The Lord Jesus, who had become a very prominent teacher and prophet in all of Israel, was being brought into the city of Jerusalem, and it looked like all of Jerusalem was in love with Him, shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet we read in the Bible that those last 40 days, for some, took very tragic turns for the Lord Jesus. We who know the true story knew that the Lord had planned everything that was going on in those 40 days. But for some on the outside, it seemed like He'd been betrayed by a good friend, that He had been captured in the night by soldiers of the high priests and of the Roman guard, and that very quickly He was rushed through the court systems and condemned to die and put to death in a very quick way. It seemed an awful tragedy for some who looked upon the outside. But the disciples, 3 days after the cross work of Christ, confused, wondering about it, discovered that there was more to this Lord Jesus Christ than met the eye. And our hope today is, as we think a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you witness the little boy who wants to be baptized, that you too might discover that there's more to this Lord Jesus than meets the eye. He came back from the dead. They were huddled in an upper room, scared, wondering about whether they were too going to be put on a cross. There they were in that upper room, afraid. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came into their midst. Some of them were guilt-ridden with their sin that they had committed. They had abandoned the Lord Jesus when He needed them the most. Some of them had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And now He was alive. And there He was in this upper room with them, and He came and He told them, peace be with you, and He showed Himself to them. And for the first time, perhaps, they began to understand what He meant when He said, I'm going to conquer death. That last enemy that you're afraid of, that you're worried about, is not an enemy to me. I'm going to conquer death, and I'm going to introduce to this planet, to this universe, a new life, a resurrection life. And the writer of the book of Romans will tell you that you can enjoy a newness of life, that you too can walk in newness and resurrection life. That what the Lord Jesus did as he came out of that grave was he came with a gift for you. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When he came out of that tomb and the disciples saw the Lord Jesus, they were glad to see him. But something else had changed. The Lord wasn't going to be with them all the time now. He left them, and they were left alone for a while. And they had to start to figure out what it meant to live with the Lord Jesus, who was alive, but not always around, not always seen. And they had difficulty straightening that out and making that work in their lives. They found themselves hiding a lot, wondering a lot. The Lord would explain to them, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, but they wouldn't go because they weren't sure how to handle a Lord Jesus that wasn't seen. It was easy to obey the Lord Jesus when he was present there in our midst, but what about when he's not seen? That's your dilemma today too, isn't it? You want me to show you a Lord Jesus physically present and then you'll believe. But God in his wisdom has decided that that's not what's best for us. One day he will be seen. One day he will be seated on that throne and every eye will see him and it will be easy to serve him and easy to obey him, but not now. Not now, everything else is seen. Everything counter to the Lord Jesus. Everything that claims to be authority. Everything that claims to be in charge. That's what's seen. And he's unseen. He's quiet and he's behind the scenes. And yet he calls you to come to him. Come to him by faith. Come to him even though you don't see everything. You don't know everything. You come to me, you trust me, and one day you'll see it all. And all of the ancient patriarchs who are described to us as people, men and women of great faith, all saw something that was unseen and lived for it. Moses saw the riches and the pleasures of sin in Egypt. He could see it. But he esteemed something greater than that. He saw the riches of Christ. They were greater than that, greater than all of the treasures in Egypt. And so he made a choice in his life by faith, and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to be named with the people of God and identified with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And today, one of the reasons why perhaps you haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is because what's seen seems so real, but haven't you had enough taste of this world to know that it's only ruined and wrecked and there isn't blessing in it? You need something else. You're longing for something else. You're longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. These last few days for the disciples were days where they were being taught this great lesson of what it means to go on for the Lord without his physical presence. Now they find themselves here in Matthew chapter 28, coming to this mountain, almost drawn to this mountain. And it would be the final time when many of them saw the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. The Lord Jesus comes and brings them to this mountain and he tells them three things. He says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." That is the place where we need to start. We need a high view of Christ. All authority has been given unto him. That's what he said. I didn't say that. He said it. And he wanted his disciples to know that. The disciples, after they spent time in the study of the Word of God, later on in their lives, some of them would write that he is seated far above all principalities, powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. To place to start with the Lord Jesus is not in the friendly, cuddly, touchy-feely Lord, but is to first recognize his high, exalted place. We serve the living Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've not yet given your life to him, you are going to have to face that deep reality one day that the one who is on the throne of the universe gave you ample opportunity to give your life to Christ. And yet you said no to him, not to the friendly, brotherly Lord. That's not who you're saying no to. You're saying no to the one who has all authority. The angels don't dare disobey him. God the Father has come to the angels in their power and in their might and said, you worship him. God the Father has taken the Lord Jesus Christ and set him at the right hand of God. That's the place of God's favor. Sit down here, my son, until I make your enemies my footstool. That's how God feels about the high place of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about you, my dear friend? Does he have a low place in your life, or does he have a high place in your life? All authority, he says, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. We read here in the book of the Bible, Romans, again, that even the higher powers which are ordained of God, even they are set up by the living Lord. And whatever we imagine about the political adroitness of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, whatever we think about the liberal movements in Europe or the conservative movements in Europe, whatever we think about those who are dictators in South America or in the eastern parts of Asia, my dear friend, they are set up and established by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who ordains higher powers and asks us to be in subjection to them. All authority has been given to me, he says. All authority. And then he has this second thing, which is what we're concentrating on. You go and you teach people to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now that word baptized has a literal meaning. It means to take a garment and to fully dip it in water or in stain or in dye so that it comes out completely dyed. But it also has a symbolic meaning as well. It means to identify yourself. Just as the garment goes into the dye and the dye is red, when the garment comes out, the garment is red itself. It looks like the dye it was baptized in. And so in the early church, and even in this early ancient time in God, in this culture in which we are reading right now, there were those, in order to proclaim that they liked what someone was saying or what someone was doing, would be baptized to say, I publicly identify myself with what that person is saying. You remember one of the first stories about our Lord Jesus Christ and his public ministry was his baptism. John the Baptist had been preaching, had been teaching, had been telling people that sin is real and that you're all sinners. That was a new message. John the Baptist brought it back to life publicly. And there were many who didn't want anything to do with John. They didn't like that message. But then there were those who came because they agreed with the message. And they came and they confessed their sins. And they were baptized to say, what John is saying is right. Sin is real, and we need to cry out to God for forgiveness of sins. And they would be baptized to show that they identified with what John was saying. And even the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he came to John. He said, John, I want to be baptized. John says, you don't need to be baptized. You've never sinned. You should be baptizing me. He said, no, John, you don't understand. I like what you're saying about sin. And even though I've never sinned, and even though I don't need to confess any sin, because Jesus was holy and perfect, he's got this high place, I want people to know that I like what you're saying, and I'm publicly identifying with what you're saying. And he was baptized. That baptism didn't do anything to the Lord Jesus. It didn't make him any holier. It didn't give him any kind of more insight into the things of God. It didn't make his sins forgiven. He had no sin. It did nothing to change the Lord Jesus Christ when he went into baptism. And that's the way it is with us too. When we are baptized, it doesn't change us. It doesn't make us one with God. It doesn't somehow bring us into a higher level of understanding in the things of God. It has nothing to do with that. When someone decides to be baptized, they are saying publicly that I know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I've trusted him as my Savior and Lord many, many years ago, perhaps. And I want people to know that I'm on his side. I want people to see his authority down here. I want people to know that I'm identified with Christ. I want to be baptized in his name. And when people speak the name of Christ, I want them to think of me. And when people think of me, I want them to think of the name of Christ. I want people to see publicly that I am on the Lord's side. Our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here that he is looking for that. Now, it disturbs me today that the trend in Christianity is to kind of sugarcoat the public standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps even in this issue of baptism. I know there are many thoughts about how baptism should be done and the methods and minds and all that kind of stuff, but it seems to me that the majority of people who claim themselves to be Christian in a very private, very behind the scenes, sometimes without anybody else present, go through a ceremony. And then, perhaps even when they're really young and they don't even know what's going on, and then they go out, and no one knows that they've named the name of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching here that there does come a time when you want to and ought to and need to publicly say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I want people to know that, and I want to be identified with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Who knows about it? If Jesus Christ is in your life, my dear friend, he comes into your life by faith, not of works. He comes into your life, but the living God, when he's in your life, is going to change everything about your life. He's going to make you brand new. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. There's going to be a change. People are going to see it. You can't keep that quiet. Can't keep that quiet. It's got to come out. It'll start to come out in those initial years as you start to talk to people and speak to people. You'll find yourself wanting to tell people about the Lord Jesus. Not because you're working it up or because you need to, but you just have to. It's the Lord's within you now, and there's a miracle that's taken place, and it has to come out. And you'll find yourself in the private moments of your mind driven to the Word of God to read it, to understand it, to look at it, and to see what it says. And there, again, you'll see there'll be people who find out about your reading of the Word of God. It has to come out. The change in your life has to be seen. And the Lord Jesus here in Matthew 28 says, I want you to deliberately, come on in Sunday school. I want you to deliberately and consciously, publicly take a stand by being baptized so that people will know that you are mine, baptized in that name. In Exodus, we read that the Lord has a very stern view about men and women who take the name of the Lord, their God, in vain. We see this in Christianity today. We see men and women who aren't the Lord's, and they decide to be baptized. We see men and women who want people to think they're Christians, want people to perceive them as Christians, but they're not really the Lord's. The Lord isn't in their life. Judy, you can bring them right up here to the front if you want, okay? The Lord isn't really in their life. It's an empty testimony, and there's nothing to it. There hasn't been a change. They've not really met the Lord. They've not really been saved. They've not really been born again. Sometimes they even get baptized. The Lord has a very strong statement in God's Word about that. Never, never take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. And so on this mountain, before he goes up into glory, he wants them to see his high place, all authority has been given unto me. And then he says to them, and listen, you go and you tell people that it is absolutely right, if I've changed their lives and made them new, for them to publicly, all over this planet, to tell people about it and identify themselves with the name of the Lord by being baptized. And then as he goes up into glory, we don't have time to think about it this morning, he says, I know I'm not going to be seen. And there will be times when you think you're all by yourself. But he said to his disciples, listen, lo, I am, amen, isn't it? I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so this morning, we're going to close with a little word of prayer right now, and then we'll have our baptism. But before we do, if you're here this morning and you've not yet been saved and born again, we want you to come to Christ. We don't want you to get baptized. We don't want you to hand us your money. We don't want you to sign a membership book or join a church. We want you to be saved. We want you to come to Christ. He's unseen, I know. That's why in this last portion he spends so much time telling us there will be a time when I'm unseen, but I'm here and I want your life. He stands at the door of your heart, the Bible says, and he knocks. And if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, the Lord Jesus comes in and saves him and makes him brand new. All things are passed away. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Why not give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, this morning? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for these kind people who have listened to the Word of God. Help us to have a high view of Christ seated in this great place of authority. Help us all to sense the great privilege that is ours to come to him first and then to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort us in those difficult times with these words that you are always with us and that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Bless my little boy now as he proclaims his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift that you gave us years ago. I just ask for your blessing in his life. In Christ's worthy and precious name, amen. Okay, Brother Mark.
And we're here this morning for the testimony of this young man here, Nathan Swain. Such a privilege to be here and to witness this. And he wants to identify himself with the death, burial, and the resurrection of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And before he gives this testimony, I'd just like to share a few brief thoughts. And one of them is in Acts chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Acts. We see a similar situation with a person, you don't have to turn there, with an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the Word of God in the Old Testament. And we find that even in the Old Testament, before Christ ever walked this earth, his son was spoken of and was revealed, so to speak. Even though it wasn't completely obvious, the whole entire Old Testament was about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do. And there's a story there, and it talks about the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, and say, that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah, the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understand, do you understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that they would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? And his life is taken, for his life is taken from the earth. It was all a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, very important question that Philip asks here. He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And if I could just add a few comments to that Salvation comes by putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man here is already saved. He's already a sealed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only the Lord Jesus Christ can seal with the Holy Spirit of promise. It can't be by man. It can't be by pastor, by priest, by rabbi. It can only be accomplished through the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, Nathan enters into that promise of God that whosoever will come to him by faith and put his faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ is forever a child of God and can live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. The last couple of thoughts is that come to my mind is Romans chapter 12. Baptism in the water is kind of a beginning of our testimony, even though that sealing of the Holy Spirit is truly the beginning, where the Lord seals us. But it's kind of like a beginning of the race, and where the Lord would say, because God has been so merciful to us, because of that, present your bodies to him now as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And that's what the Apostle Paul would teach us and ask us and admonish us to do in Romans. And then finally in Hebrews chapter 12, we're told to run this race and to look unto the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid of the chastening of the Lord. Don't ever be afraid when the Lord corrects us and steers us right, because he loves us and it's for our benefit. So I just wanted to share those few simple thoughts. And now Nathan himself can give you his testimony.
I was saved in 1998 when the day before when... that day my brother Caleb was baptized, and I just felt touched after Caleb's baptism and wanted to be saved. And when I decided to get baptized, it was very hard for me to do that because it had been a long time since I had thought about it, and I had decided to get baptized.
Maybe we could turn to the front cover of the red hymn book, and after he's baptized, he's saying, "Praise the Savior, ye who know him."
Nathan, your testimony, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. We baptize you now, and in the presence of heaven itself, that you are being baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit of God.
Let's sing number, the front cover, Praise the Savior, right? Honors his word. even to young boys and girls. For he says, whoever, at any age, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will save. We ask, oh God, that if there's any this morning here in this room that not yet come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that this baptism might be what it was for Nathan many years ago, something that touches their hearts and brings them to the place where they realize that they need a Savior to come into their life and to save them. Thank you, Lord. We pray for your blessing on this little boy. We thank you for him. We thank you for all the little ones here in this assembly. We just pray, Lord, that Nathan might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would help him to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Bless his life now, Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The meeting is dismissed.